You know, as we were praising and worshiping, I saw an arrow hit. And it was like, and if you understand some of the prophetic moves of God in the Bible, one of the things he'd have them do is shoot arrows. And in a prophetic move, there are certain things that happen. And I saw the arrow come and hit, and it was an arrow that was a flame on the end of it. And when it hit, it began to ripple, and while we were praying, I saw nothing, but while I was praying, there was like, if you ever put like, I don't want to say gasoline, but like starting fluid, you know, for charcoal or whatever, you know how kind of like, it doesn't, you know, real big, it's just going. And that's what was happening in here. And I know it's still happening. And I know that when I saw that arrow, I knew that the Lord is getting ready to do something. There's nothing new with him, but it's new to us sometimes. It's about to begin to happen again. See, there's a time and a season for everything. And in it, something's getting ready to happen. And I kept seeing this, just this, it was like a ripple effect. You know, when you see, you throw a match in something that goes, and that's what was happening, and we're in it right now. It just started today. It has started today. I can't tell you exactly everything of what it is, but I know that God's attention is here. And he has shot his arrow into this place. And because he has shot his arrow into this place, you must hold on to that. That means fire. That means things are getting ready to happen. Things will begin to escalate. So it's our responsibility to keep the fire burning, isn't it? Amen. You know, a couple of days ago, I was driving and I saw two hands. And these two hands grabbed hold of something. And he said to me, what you hold on to is what you become. What you hold on to is what you become. And I saw it was almost like like a box or something, and it had the word truth on it. But he said it wasn't truth. He said just because people believe that it's true doesn't mean it is true. He says, so what you're holding on to is what you believe. And if what you're holding on to is what you believe, you become what you believe. Even so, I knew that in this box, even though it said truth on it, it was written on it, truth, but inside was deception. So as they held onto this box that they thought was truth, but actually what was happening was they were being deceived. Because what they believed was true was not. Again, what you grab hold to, what you believe, if it is not true, it will affect you, won't it? Because what you grab hold to, you become. And there's that area where we've got to begin to grab hold on to truth. That's holding on to truth. And right now we are seeing a tremendous deception in this country, not only in this country, but globally. And one of the things that the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Listen, he's come to steal truth. He tried to kill truth, but he rose from the dead. He couldn't hold truth. So the only thing he can try to do is steal it because he can't kill it. And he tries to destroy the people who are carrying truth. So we are a time and season right now that holding on the truth is essential no matter what you're going through. You must hold on the truth. Truth is also associated with promises. What's God said? You know, there's a lot of times when people are holding on to false promises because they're false desires. Things that they desire, they decree, but it's not from God. What you decree that's out of the soul, not out of flesh, will take you off course. Only the things that are decreed by the Lord put you on course. Would you go with me to Revelation chapter 3? Remember, what you hold on to is what you'll become. So if you're holding on to your past, hello? If you're still holding on to your past, you become your past. If you hold on to bitterness, you become bitter. If you hold on to fear, you become fearful. Everything you hold on to, you become. Hallelujah. In Revelation chapter 3, and I'm telling you right now, this is what the enemy is trying to do, is trying to get you to cut loose of the things that you're holding on to that are truth. Because only truth will bring you home. I've seen so much lies and so many things that are going on right now. Next Wednesday night, we'll have the prophetic word of 2013. I don't know what it'll be, but it will be. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse 1, would you read it with me? And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are what? Dead. You have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. Why? Because you're grabbing hold of the what? Deception. If you're grabbing hold of deception, you're letting go of what? Truth. Verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Hold fast to the truth and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of what? Life. Everyone's name is written in the book of life that comes in this realm. The day you give up your last breath is whether it stays there or is removed. That's why children go home, because their name is in the book. If a child is aborted, its name is in the book. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Again, we are to hold fast and repent. In other words, turn. It doesn't matter what you've done. The beauty of being an offspring of the Eternal One is that you can get back in line any moment. And you can let go of yesterday and grab hold of the future. You can let go of your past and grab hold of the future. Because what you grab hold of is what you become. In Galatians chapter 5. Even in giving testimonies, you know, I give my testimony a lot of what the Lord has done for me and being when I was an addict and so forth. But even in testimony, there's a time when I'll begin to speak of my testimonies and all of a sudden I can sense beginning to grab. And it's like, that's enough. See, you can talk about your past, but when you begin to grab hold of your past, you become your past again. And this is what God, this is why the Holy Spirit sets up boundaries. He sets some boundaries in our life so that we don't go over them. They're not to control us, they're to protect us. These are boundaries, and we must be sensitive to these boundaries in everything that we do. And all of our, especially our, and all of our walk in the Spirit. You know, in the three chambers of the tabernacle, the outer court is the place of salvation. The holy place is the place of relationship. And in it, there's food there. There's intercession there. There's the seven attributes of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's the light of the oil. There's the incense for intercession. But the next chamber is a chamber where you shut up. Because no words can be spoken in there. And so many times in service, I hear people begin to pray in the Spirit when the third door is opening. Because they can't sense that it's supposed to be quiet, not speaking. Those are boundaries. We must be sensitive to the boundaries. Because when you're not sensitive to the boundaries, we will grieve the Spirit. I've seen the veil of the third chamber open up, and people begin to pray in the Spirit, and I see it close. See, in the third chamber, you don't fight to get in there no more. You are invited in. There's a difference. But we must become sensitive to those things. We must learn to be quiet in some areas. There's a time to pray. There's a time to praise. There's a time to worship. Then there's a time to be taken. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to take us in his presence and engulf us. Why? Because when that happens, you grab him and he grabs you. And there's a holding that you never want to let go of. And then he says, okay, well, it's time for you to go, but don't let go. You go, but you don't let go. That's why you have the Lord before you all the time. All the time. Oh, glory. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Verse 7, let's speak it together. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? In other words, who hindered you from holding on to the truth? He says, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Well, who persuaded you to let go of the truth? The enemy, right? He said, a little leaven, remember, leaven means evil. A little evil leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. For you, brethren, have been called to freedom or liberty. Only do not use this liberty or freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. They didn't hold on to the truth when troublesome times came. And by letting go, it brought people into bondage. In Deuteronomy 13, holding on to truth. Deuteronomy 13. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. Deuteronomy 13. Let's speak it together, please. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder. Let me share with you. A dreamer is one who lives out of their soul, not their spirit. They are dreamers. He's not talking one who has dreams and interprets. That's one who lives out of the spirit. But there are many dreamers, people who live out of the soul. These are people who always say, God said, God said, God said. And God didn't say a word. Because they live out of how they feel instead of out of the spirit in the emotional arena. Amen? So they live out of their soul and out of their flesh. And they become dreamers. And verse 2, and a sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. In other words, he wants to know if your soul is set towards him or you. You shall walk after the Lord your God in fear him, reverence, honor, and respect, and keep his commands and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. If you'll hold fast to him, he'll hold fast to you. So everybody got that? But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, which means bondage, and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. Listen, even right now, this country is trying to convince you to let go of your God. It's trying to convince you to let go, to grab hold of their God, the God of self, the God of deception, the God of greed, the God of destruction. That's what's happening right now. They have succeeded in the area of taking prayer out of schools. They've succeeded in taking many things away that promote the King of Glory. But they've not removed the body of Christ, nor can they. That is in the hands of the Lord. So that means we have a job. We have a job to do. And our job is to hold on to the truth in the future. So that when you hold on to the truth, you become truth. Others will see you as truth. Eventually they'll want to know why you're different. Because you hold on to the future, not the past. There are a lot of political dreamers, aren't there? Yes. A dreamer is one who lives out of his soul, not the spirit. We're to hold fast to the truth. In Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Holding on the truth. Is everybody okay? Let's speak this together, please. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, nor that it cannot save. That it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated from you, from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does anyone plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. In other words, in the area of deception, and again, I'm going to utilize what's going on in this country. People are believing the lies. Because what you hold on to, you become, right? And what you eat, you become. So what you speak is what you eat, isn't it? And what you eat, you become. So what he's saying, there's much deception because people are letting go of truth and grabbing hold of man's promises, letting go of God's promises. Right now, this country is turned over to the area of false provision. There are promises from our government that they cannot fulfill. It is impossible. People are being lied to, but people are not willing to grab hold of truth and be satisfied with the lie. False expectations. They believe that if they can get a handout without working, they're blessed. No, the Bible says no worky, no eaty. And there's nothing wrong with receiving a blessing. Amen. But you better be holding on to the truth so the blessing comes from truth. Hallelujah. He says, no one pleads for this truth but or speaks of the eternal Christ, the true person. That's what's happening right now. We are seeing this happen globally, but I'm more specific right now. The Spirit is more specific because what we're dealing with, where we're living, we are here in this country. We are being prepared for what is getting ready to happen. In Mark 7. Mark chapter 7. Hallelujah. You know, even the word tells us that even deception has entered the body of Christ. He calls it the tares and the wheat. And we put up with it. We expose it, put up with it, hope for people to turn from deception to truth. That's why in the body of Christ, there's two type of believers. They're the ones that are spiritual and the ones that are carnal. The ones that are spiritual are different than the ones that are carnal. There are two different languages in both. There's two different functions in both. There's two areas where individuals are different. You can put them both in front. One will interpret the word different than another. One will interpret the life different than another. The word speaks about this. Paul warned people about being believers and still being in the flesh. It's because they live in the outer court, not the holy place. And there's a difference. In Mark 7 and verse 6, and Jesus answered and said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines and the commandments of men. In other words, they're putting man's rule above God's. 8. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the traditions of men, the washing of pictures and cups and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to a father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift of God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother. In other words, there's no longer assistance. Making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. And one of the areas is what establishes a carnal Christian or a spiritual Christian is things that are handed down. traditions of men. Traditions of men is the area of what man believes is truth. But it's not truth. Because there's a truth that brings freedom. False truth brings bondage. You know, you may go to many places and they'll tell you, well, Jesus used to heal, used to baptize in the Holy Spirit. And at that time, all of these gifts and everything was just for the apostles. And it's been handed down. So you may go to fellowships where they don't believe in casting out devils. You may go to a fellowship where they don't believe in the worship of the Lord. You may go to a fellowship where they don't believe in laying on of hands. You may go to some of these things. And the reason why that is not happening is because their traditions of men have been passed down. And they've grabbed hold of a box called truth, but in it is deception. Not willing to let go of the traditions that have been passed down. Same thing in cultures and the cultural ties that have been passed down. Certain things that people just will not let go of, even in diet. Cultural things that have been passed down, and even in diet, that people will not let go of and are still killing everybody. Because they hold on to the traditions. Not willing to let go. Amen? And that's what he was saying here. Saying, hold on to the traditions instead of the truth. Not willing to let these things go. Because what you hold on to, you become. I used to believe that marijuana was, if it was a plant, it was cool. Cocoa leaves, anything. Poppy seeds, you know. All of these things. Well, if God created them, then it should be okay to use. But I was deceived. Totally deceived. And it brought nothing but bondage because it was promoting deception, not promoting truth. Amen? I think most of us here have experienced some of that. Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah 8. Hallelujah. In verse 4. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem is in a what? Perpetual backsliding. Well, let me tell you, when you hold on to deception, you are in a perpetual backsliding condition. They hold on. What do they hold to? They hold fast to what? Deceit or deception. They refuse to return. Oh, they believe it so much. And they're constantly backsliding and can't get out of it. But they believe it so much. Because that's what they believe. And what you believe is what you'll become. And you'll stay in that condition until you die. Until you choose to turn and get right. I listened and heard, but they did not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as a horse rushes into the battle. Look at even the stork in the heavens know their appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow. Observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? That is not the wisdom of above. It is the wisdom of beneath. Amen? In perpetual backsliding, because they hold to deception, there's no wisdom from above, and the wisdom from beneath continues to increase. In Jeremiah 6, and 24, It says, we have heard the report of it. Our hands grow feeble. Anguish has taken hold of us. Whoa. They heard the report. That report promoted fear. They grabbed hold of that report, and now anguish has grabbed hold of them. Pain is a woman in labor. Do not go out into the field nor walk by the way, because the sword of the enemy fears on every side. Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. He binds us with fear. Fear will nullify faith. Fear. That's what he utilizes, fear. Religion associates with fear. In the kingdom of God, there should be no fear. It's a fear of the Lord is reverence, honor, and respect, not the fear that the enemy brings. It's reverence, honor, and respect. Once you've come into the first chamber, you're no longer trying to accept salvation. You have it. Now you're working it. That's why the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, reverence and honor and respect, and continue to the other chambers where there's relationship. So let me tell you, if you're in relationship, you're not concerned about losing your salvation. If you're truly in relationship with the Lord, you're going to make mistakes. Amen? You're going to be a bonehead sometimes. You're going to say things you shouldn't say. You're going to do something you shouldn't do. But if the Bible says only those who practice righteousness are in relationship. But those who practice wickedness are in the wrong relationship. Amen. Remember he says, listen, if you have relationship with the Lord but you're practicing wickedness, you're a liar. That relationship is not there. And you'll know by your own fruit. And if you can't see it, you can always ask your neighbor, what's my fruit like? Amen? In Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's speak it together, starting at verse 1. Holding on to truth. It's a battle. That's a battle. You got to hold on. Hold on to his promises. Again, everything is trying to be stripped away from us now in this country. Antichrist has taken over. So Antichrist means anti-truth. So if Antichrist has taken over, that means they're going to try to take everything from you and strip you from hope, from relationship, from the promises of God, from freedom. Put you into an area of religion. That's how it starts, religious. Which brings you into bondage. The next thing you know, you're not only in the outer court, you're in outer darkness. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel is preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why did it not profit them? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. In other words, they did not grab hold. They did not see it. The only thing they did was listen to it, but they did not grab hold of it. They didn't take it and eat it. It became mind, not spirit. There's a difference. When it becomes spirit, You fight for it. When it becomes mine, it's easily given. Verse 3. For we have believed, for we who have believed do enter the rest, as he has said. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all of his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those whom it was first preached did not enter because of what? Disobedience. Disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not what? Harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, rest for the people of God. And for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of what? Disobedience. Disobedience. Why does people fall into disobedience? Because they let go of what? Truth. Truth. Or they're willing to compromise. They try to juggle both. Yes, I have truth here, but you know, I want to do this, but I have truth here, but you know what? You know, you can only hold on to something with one hand so long. But you know, if you hold on with two hands, you'll fight for it. Amen? Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. Start at verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of your life will be what? Many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Now, then he tells you what to do, right? He says what? Take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Take hold of instruction. Is instruction truth? It's called counsel, isn't it? The counsel of truth. Take firm hold of instruction and don't let go. Don't take instruction and counsel and put it in one hand and juggle your reasoning, your desire, and the other. That's like standing in the middle of the street and deciding which side to go to. And a car comes over and runs you over. Eventually, you will get run over. Philippians 3. I was driving down the road the other day. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. And the squirrel happened to jump out in front of my car and pick up a nut and begin to eat it. And I said, come on, man, get out of the way. So I slowed down and stopped because I don't like running over squirrels. I don't like running over anything. So I see the devil's head there or something. Snakes I love to run over. I look for those mugs. Come on out, you varmint. But I, you know, he just stood there and I think, come on, go to one side or the other, will you? You got the nut in your hand, now go. And he had both hands on that nut, I want you to know. He wasn't letting go, man. And then he went to one side, and then I kept going. Philippians 3, and verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for what? Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. See, he was willing to let go of his past. I'm letting go. I'm not touching it. I'm letting go. And I'm grabbing hold of the future. I'm grabbing hold of Christ, who is the future. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I do what? I press on. I press on. I grab hold of the future. I press on. I'm not going to grab hold of the past. I press on that I may what? Lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. You grab hold of him, he grabs hold of you. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the what? Same mind. We should be of the same mind in this, shouldn't we? Grab hold of Christ, and he'll grab hold of you. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Letting go of the past and grabbing hold of the future. You're grabbing hold of truth, not letting go. Verse 18, let's speak it together. Let no one what? Cheat you of your reward. Well, who's going to try and cheat you of your reward? The devil. Will he use anyone? Yeah, he'll use anyone to try and cheat you, man. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. That's New Age. Intruding into those things which he has not seen, and vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding fast to the what? Head, who is what? Christ Jesus. From whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world. Why, as though living in the world, do you still subject yourselves to regulations? In other words, traditions. Traditions. We are not of the world. Has everybody got it? You know, things of like, don't touch, don't taste, don't handle, with all concerned things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of who? Men. Men. Hold fast to the head, or you'll be deceived with religious acts that produce traditions of men and bondage. The enemy will try to always bring you back from relationship to justification in religion. I speak to many people, and sometimes I'll say, so what's happening? I haven't seen them in a while. Nobody telling me, how's it going? Well, you know, the first thing they talk about is their job. Oh, the Lord's blessed me with this. Okay. When I hear that, I already know. Because they're not telling me what God about their relationship with the Lord. So, well, were you in fellowship? Well, I'm not in fellowship. Oh. So you're not in fellowship. Okay, so what do? Oh, I go to work. I go to work. But I know Jesus. Well, you're disobedient to Jesus. Because he says, forsake not to assemble. So obviously you're not being fed from above. You're being fed by deception. And you've gone back into religion instead of relationship. Let me tell you, God blesses even darkness. The Bible says that it rains on the righteous and the wicked. Amen? And hope that the right, the wicked, will come to know him. Or else the devil would have killed him. Every one of us in this room got blessed by God, even when we were doing evil. In hope that we would come to know him before we got taken out. Thank God we made it here. Now let's hold on to the truth and make it all the way. Amen. Oh, glory. Let's go a little further. Oh, no, 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 no. No, I want to finish this. In verse 23, let's speak it together. These things indeed have an appearance of what? Wisdom and what? Self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Why? Because they live out of the soul. They live by how they feel. The flesh is still ruling their life. That's why they continue to go back to the things of deception. They go back to the things of perversion. They go back to the things of the flesh and practice them. We are to hold fast to the head. Amen? Or be deceived. If you're not holding to the head, you're going to hold to religion. 1 Corinthians 15. Holding on the truth. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved if you hold fast that word. You are saved if you hold fast. You are saved if you hold fast. To that word which I preached you, unless you believe in what? In vain. Wow. For I delivered you to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. And that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. At once. This is when he was telling them, okay, listen. Everybody, stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. 500. More than 500, he told, to wait for the promise. That's in Acts 1. Wait for the promise where you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Over 500 of them, he told. You know how many showed up? 120. Only 120 grabbed hold of the truth. The 280 went to religion. They decided to go to the feast instead of obeying the truth. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time, or due season. Hallelujah. Again, he told all of them to go to the upper room and wait. Wait for the promise. Stay in Jerusalem. Only 120 listened. 280 did not. They did not hold on to the truth because the truth was speaking to them. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. In verse 10. Would you speak it with me, please? For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many. In other words, they put money before righteousness. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on what? Eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Again, holding fast to eternal, grabbing hold of eternal life. He's saying, listen, right now, the impression of greed and money. See, one of the things that the enemy has done now is infiltrated in the area of fear. So people are willing to do whatever. But they begin to serve money instead of serve God. Is the Lord's arm too short? No. No. They fall into greed. They begin to manipulate. They begin to lie to gain money. They begin to forsake their first love to gain money. Remember, there's two areas that we are called to minister to. We're called to minister to the Lord and His house. We are called to minister to the Lord and His house, and then everything else falls into place. Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hallelujah. In verse 12. Let's speak it together, please. I see many people backslide because of money. Let's speak it together. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Amen. So in this is powerful. I want to go a little further. For who having heard rebelled, indeed was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who did what? Not obey. So we see that they could not enter because of what? Unbelief. They did not hold on, did they? They didn't hold on. In Habakkuk chapter 2, it's right before Zephaniah. Hallelujah. We'll wait for you to get there. Habakkuk chapter 2, in verse 1. See, when you are holding on to truth, you are always waiting for truth to speak. And here he says in verse 1, I will stand my watch and I will set myself on the rampart. And I will watch to see what he will say to me. And what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will what? Speak. And it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In other words, when you hold on to the promises of God, when He shows you something that is a promise, write it down. But let it be written in your heart. And you hold on to it. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's happening, if it's of God and you're in still maintaining divine order, it will come to pass. No matter what. No matter what. It's important that we maintain divine order. So divine order is going to be holding on to the truth, isn't it? Because holding on to the truth will put divine order, won't it? It will come to pass. Hallelujah. But many people won't hold on to divine truth. And things won't come to the pass, and I'll be angry and bitter and blame God. And they won't enter that rest. In Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Without what? Wavering. Without wavering. Without what? Wavering. For he who promised is what? Faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is the day approaching? Amen. And I want to close at Psalm 37. Hold on to your confession of hope. That is future faith. Psalm 37. And we'll close here. Holding on the truth. Examine yourself. In verse 1, Psalm 37. Let's speak it together. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Oh, hallelujah. Rest in the Lord. And what? Wait patiently. That means endure for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret and only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. In other words, God will release his promises. Amen. He's faithful. I want to encourage you because you will be attacked. You will be tempted to let go. But you got to hold on with both hands all the way through. No matter what's going on or no matter what's happening, you hold on to the truth all the way through. And I'm telling you, God will prosper you. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Let the seed be protected by the blood of the Lamb. And allow this to be imparted in us and grow and bear fruit for your glory. Asking the Holy Spirit to bring this to remembrance as we go through our days. In Jesus' name. Again, thank you for listening. For more teachings and resources, please visit us at eternallibrary.org.